right now. So I can hear you at the castle?
Yeah, I mean,
is that your place?
No, my place is downstairs, but it's super close, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
dig it.
Yeah.
Dig it, man.
How you doing, right?
So much better for talking to you. Oh my god, thanks, man. Yeah, it's been crazy. It's been really interesting. I my body is doing weird things.
Yeah.
You know about my car accident?
Yes, I was following that on Facebook. Like, I was going to say, fuck it, you're lucky to be alive. Like, Jesus, it was fucking nuts stuff. Yeah,
that was pretty intense. It made me laugh because it was like I've been gigging a lot.
Yes,
and
lots of awesome stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that part's been cool. And it's just been pretty heavy lately. And and my body's been my knee's been acting up and whatnot. And just a lot of time alone because, you know, of the gig and driving back and forth. And this made me laugh. Last night, I was driving back and forth, and I was just kind of in a space. I was like, oh, you know. And then suddenly I was like, is this what I was asking for showing up totally differently than I thought?
Yes.
And I burst out laughing.
Okay.
And once I started laughing, I was like, okay, I can't pretend I'm not laughing my ass off right now. Yeah, so, okay. Yeah. Cool. And it's kind of funny too, because I was thinking about the my new car, which I don't think I've posted pictures of it yet. It basically the energy of my car, my new car, is that of when I don't remember when you were like a little kid. Yeah. You know, like a little kid.
Yes,
and you had like a particular like toy car. Like, I don't know if it was, like, a matchbox or, like, something bigger than that or something. And it was just, like, your thing.
Yes,
and it just brought you so much joy. Like, that kind of, like, four-year-old boy, oh, my God, this is my car. This is my thing. That's the energy of the car.
Oh, wow. Awesome. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. So, like, I really wanted an electric car.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You got one?
Yeah. I'll show you a picture here, since this is the easiest way to do it. And the thing about electric cars that I did not know is that because of the powertrain, the way it's set up, they're really quick. They're super quick.
Yes. Yeah.
So some dude drove up next to me trying to be all like, you know, being a dick at a light, and I like pretty much smoked him, and my car does not look like it's going to smoke anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it does. I don't know. I don't want to sell it too short. Okay, hold on.
Oh, wow. That looks pretty awesome.
Yeah.
What brand is it? Hyundai, is it?
No? Yeah, it is. It's a Hyundai Kona. Electric.
Wow. Yeah, cool. Awesome. Beautiful.
Yeah. So it's quick as hell. It's just so fun to drive. I'm actually thinking of driving to Houston in it. Just to see if I can do the cross country trip in an electric. So
And did you move to Las Vegas, Mikey, or what happened with that?
Not yet. Okay. Not yet. It is still, the energy is still there though.
Yeah,
which is really cool. So that's still in the mix. But you've been bouncing around quite a bit.
Yeah, I've been here, there, and everywhere. It has. I've been in Rome. I was back in Ireland for a while. I've been all over Italy. Yeah, so it's been a lot of fun, actually. Yeah. So I had an exam in Italian yesterday. So I've actually. A lot higher level than I thought, so I was actually pleasantly surprised with that. So it was like a 15-minute verbal interview, and the lady at the end says, "One thing I love about you, you just never stopped. Even if you didn't know the Italian word, you just put in an English word and just kept going." And it was like, "One thing, you are not timid," and I was like, "No, I'm not really timid." Yeah,
no, No, that is definitely not a punk or anything any kind of way. Yeah. And you're not timid with a giant smile too. That which makes it even that much more accommodating. Not even accommodating. It greases the wheels.
Yeah, well, I was going to keep going no matter what. Yeah.
That's actually kind of an Italian thing.
Yeah, oh, totally.
You know, they'll just stop me talking to you, and then they don't stop talking. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah, now, I stopped understanding the language a second ago, but you're still going.
But it actually made me acknowledge, like, I came to Italy, like, not a single word of Italian, like, and I just went straight into meetings. Okay, this is, like, just getting the message across. This is what we're doing. This is not what we're not doing. It's like, it was like, oh, a grand and glorious adventure. Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. If I knew then what I know now. Yeah.
Well, that's a good segue. That's a good segue. So
let's do our podcast, buddy.
Let's talk about your three favorite movies.
Yeah.
So I have them right here. Oh, I forgot to. That's fine. So we all know it's There's Something About Mary. So Good Will Hunting, Gladiator, and There's Something About Mary.
Yeah, and it was actually, I'm really grateful for this podcast and really grateful for your question, Mikey, because I spent in my early 20s, I spent a year and a half traveling around the world, and it was a question I used to always ask people, give me your top 10 movies and your top 10 songs. And
oh, nice.
It was like, and before I would have had like boom, 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 boom. And it really got me thinking, wow, what are the ones that really had an effect on me and ones that I really enjoyed? And,
yeah.
It's like Good Will Hunting for me is just an awesome, awesome movie. Like it's like the cast is so strong, and like it was Matt Damon getting started, Ben Affleck getting started. Like you had Robin Williams who gave, for me, one of the performances of his life, like just...
Oh yeah,
top class performance, like so vulnerable, just brilliant. Yeah.
Oh yeah, the looking back at the career, I mean, I'm trying to think of two Robin Williams performances that were better than that. Well, not better, but better than that one.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I can come up with a second one. I would reflexively say Dead Poets Society.
Yeah,
but I haven't seen it in forever, because that's not exactly a movie I put on all the time.
Yes, yeah.
And I probably watch a scene from Good Will Hunting at least once a week.
Wow, really?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The monologue. It was my favorite monologue then, and I'm starting to age into the right. Into his group a little bit. I mean, I'm still quite a ways away, but like if when someone asks me to do a monologue, one of the ones I look up is the bench scene.
Yes, yeah.
The sitting on the bench when he just goes, "You're just a kid," and just it's so good. What is it about the movie that resonated with you?
I think there's a number of things, I suppose, even being Irish to an extent, like, and it's kind of like the boys are from Boston, they're getting started in life, and it's just a brilliant story. Like Ben Affleck is very strong, and Matt Damon is awesome in it. Like, and it's like, are you truly willing to live your brilliance? And it's like how easily genius can be lost as well. Like it's just incredible. I was actually reading about this scientist who had discovered 6 laws of thermodynamics before anybody else in the whole world had, and he never told anybody. So it was only when one of his students started going through all his books, they found it like maybe 10 years after he was dead. And like he had all this stuff figured out, and I was like, wow, the fine line sometimes between being famous and not being known at all, it's like quite incredible. Like,
yeah, you know, it's razor thin.
Yeah,
I mean, I know a guy I used to jam with at, and it's funny because he's not famous. In fact, he's famous. But he's not a household name, but he was on a career path of being a household name. Like they actually built a Broadway show around him. And it involved some gigantic, like, basically the biggest names in entertainment were involved in this thing, and he was the centerpiece, and it just, it fell apart. It actually, it actually is one of the more historical flops, which is really unfair, especially, I met the casting director, and she told me all the stories, and I was like, oh my God, that's not at all what they said in the press. But it is that, like, he was, like, I mean, this is sort of the opposite of that, that thermo, that professor. Like, everything lined up for him, and then it quote unquote didn't, and it's one of those like, all right, well, what's right about this, you know, that that we're not getting yet, because he still has all the talent in the world, and I still expect him to blow up. But yeah, just that hair line between, but and I wonder what that is like. I mean you and I kind of share a similar point of view about being. And like you said, stepping into your greatness.
Yeah. Well, and acknowledging the brilliance, because like, how often are we being tough on ourselves, or not giving ourselves a hard time, or judging ourselves, basically, rather than acknowledging, wow, I created this. Wow, this was awesome. Okay, cool. How does it get any better than that? And it's kind of, a lot of the time we're looking for the problem. What's wrong with me? Rather than, okay, what's right about me? What's right about this situation? What's, what's showing up for?
Well, hell, Will, Will in the movie, his entire operating existence was, what's wrong with me? And he actually knew, you know, he knew what was wrong with him, and then, like, had to destroy everything that basically said, this is bullshit. Like, anyone in his life who was like, this is bullshit, and called him out on it, he had to annihilate, especially Minnie Driver.
Yeah, well, Minnie Driver gives a fantastic performance in that movie, and she's very underrated. Like, obviously, Ben Affleck and Matt Damon went on to massive things, and, Robin Williams was already very, very well known at that stage. Like, he was Hollywood A-lister. But she gives a brilliant performance in that, and not an easy role to play, because Matt Damon is strong, and like she held that space very, very well.
Really awesome. So Mike, I guess the another question I ask about these movies, so which is there a character or characters that in Good Will Hunting that really you saw the movie through, that you connected to the most?
I think the Matt Damon, for me, the Matt Damon character, like, it's I just love the character, and I love the story of it, like, where it's like there's an equation on the board and he starts writing it out, like, and it's quite incredible. Like, it's like, what can we truly achieve? What's possible for all of us? It's like, when we actually acknowledge our brilliance and start being that in the world, it's like, what's truly possible? Yeah.
And is that what came up for you? Is that what comes up for you now when you see him at the board? I mean, what, because this movie, you know, I mean, I'm guessing you saw it in the theater, because I know I did. I saw it like 3 times in the theater.
Yes.
And this was definitely way before I would even entertain the question, what's right about me? I'm not kidding.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, what were the seeds of, was that what came up back then?
Yeah, back then, I think it was probably the depth of the movie, because it's, there's some brilliant scenes with Matt Damon and Robin Williams, and, like, it's almost hard to believe what happened to Robin Williams in one way, because it was, like, he was so good, and it's, it is, and what's right about it we're not getting, but it's like some of those scenes are just powerful scenes, like, and it's really going to the grist of being human, and it's like exploring that and saying, okay, yeah, we have this, but what's beyond it? What can you create now?
And especially in the late 90s, mid late 90s, I mean, how often were, you know, guys like us who weren't exactly, you know, practicing meatheads, or, you know, actually were in touch with who we, you know, a sense of who we were and how different we were than everything else. Like, that movie was like permission. It was the like being in that theater and being allowed to full. I'm gonna start crying now that I think of it. I just watched that scene. I rewatched It's Not Your Fault to see like a space of male kindness,
yeah,
and male vulnerability. Like that, I think that might have been one of the first movies that I can remember really showing like this is a very masculine thing. Because I definitely had been making my, I don't know. Yeah, I guess full on I was making myself wrong because it was like, why am I different than all these other guys I see around me?
Yeah.
And then when I saw that movie, it was like, oh, there's actually a space for total vulnerability.
Yeah.
But that was what I got out of
it. Yeah, and I thought that, and then there's the scene where it's like, Robin Williams goes through the loss of his wife, who's the love of his life, and it's like the Matt Damon character, who is very intelligent, like thinks he has him and starts pressing that button, and next thing it's like, you don't know.
I'm not half fucking him.
Yeah, and it's like two powerful actors going at it.
Yeah. Oh my God, love it. Well, speaking of power. Let's go on to your next favorite movie that you put on the list, Gladiator, which, full disclosure, in the early 2000s, I remember seeing a list of porn movies, and the titles of them, and since then, I've not been able to not call this movie by its porn title.
Yes.
Yeah. So when I was filling out like all the graphics for this, I kept typing "Glad he ate her."
Yes. Yeah.
So I if I say that by accident, just know that's where it came from. Stupid.
Apology accepted in advance.
Thank you very much. Well, I'm definitely thinking it. I'm still thinking it right now.
No, it's an awesome movie, and it's funny that I'm in Italy at present and have been for the last 2 years, but it was like that, it was almost like for me, I remember watching it for the first time, the Film Society in college put it on, and that was the first time I can remember seeing it like in large screen, and it was awesome. But it was like I was that soldier walking through those fields, like it was like all those battles, and it was like I like played a lot of physical sports. I enjoyed the physical battle, and like it was confrontational, and also the never give in, never give up, never quit. Like it was powerful, absolutely powerful movie. Like,
So, wow, because you touched on like with three, four different things. I'm not even sure which one to jump on. Because they all got me going. Well, the never give, never quit. Like when again. I mean, I'm guessing you've always been someone who was curious about about beyond, and I'm guessing this was way before you started really, you know, digging into it. What was it about this movie, like, because there's something really interesting about Gladiator that I think gets overlooked, which is like, yeah, it is a very confrontational, very violent movie, but there's something very specific about the energy of the violence and the confrontation, which isn't just your normal like battle movie. Do you think it has something to do with like the fact that these people are actually forced in this situation, and or like do you know what I'm talking about? Does that make sense to you?
And it's almost like there's an ideal in it, like for the glory of Rome, and it's like the when he rides on Rome and like he sees what Rome actually is, and it's like, wow, I fought all these battles for something that wasn't really true, and it was like, okay, let's destroy it and start again. And it's like a lot of things happen in that movie, like he loses his wife, he loses his child, it's like there's a lot of things thrown at him, and it's like he keeps going, and like I really admire that in terms of the perseverance, like never give up, never give in, never quit. He just keeps going, okay, what can we do here, how can we outmaneuver this, like, and it's like he's pretty pragmatic as well in terms of, okay, this is what's required to move this forward, I need to raise an army and march on Rome. And it's like, which at that time, I'd imagine was completely unheard of. And it's like, you're taking on the greatest. It's like, okay, I'm going to raise an army and take on America. Like, it's like, that kind of a thing. Like, and it's like, that's what he does. And like, it reflects history in terms of Julius Caesar marching on Rome, and also Spartacus as well. Like, you know, there's a lot of truths woven in with it. Yeah.
Well, I was gonna say, like, I mean, the idea, like, it's so funny as you said. That's like, and in my head, I like how you said I'm gonna take on America, because these days it's actually not that big of a deal. I mean, apparently you can go to the Capitol and just wreck that shit and not get in trouble for it anymore, but. But yeah, when you said it, I was like, there. I could not think of a historical reference that would have been stronger, like to take on the Roman Empire.
Yeah,
that's it. Like, there's, yeah. I mean, China built a wall to keep it from happening, but still, that, I mean, it is. But so you see it through our man Maximus's eyes, right?
Yeah, and then. Joaquin Phoenix gives an incredible performance, and like it's actually a very underrated performance for me, because like,
yeah, when you look back now, you look back now at what who he is as an actor, and I have you seen any of his interviews?
I haven't seen that many of his interviews. No,
you might want to check it out, because one of those. He's one of those people that when they speak, the mainstream media or anyone in interviews, like, oh, he's such a weird different person, and you're like, no, I actually understand everything he's saying. He is absolutely, like, basically he's like, I don't like talking about how I get into characters or just my technique, and the energy is totally like, yeah, I just be it.
Yes,
like, yeah. I go into it and I be it completely, and that's it. Like, but, and he can't just say that, you know, he can't just say like, this is fun for me and I love pretending. Yeah, no, the performance is incredible, but like, so I guess you already answered the question because of Maximus's never die, never give up.
Yeah, well, and Russell Crowe is so strong in the role. Like, it's almost a role that was designed for him. And like, some of the co-stars in it are strong. And then when it gets into the political intrigue and what's going to happen, and it's like, there's a lot in that movie. Yeah.
Real quick, there's the scene that jumps out at me every time I watch it, and it always surprises me, even though I know it's coming, and it's probably my favorite moment is the battle in between him and the Emperor. Yes. When the Emperor's like, sword, give me your sword. Yeah. And the whoever's in charge of the crew there's like, stand your ground. Oh. Like, don't give him a fucking sword.
Yes, yeah.
And that moment of like, Talk about taking on Rome is impossible. The moment that someone actually stood up to the Emperor and was like, no, we're not having this anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you agreed to this battle. These are the rules of the battle. You battled to the death. We're not fucking bending this.
Yeah.
Like, that always shocks me. Like, oh, wow, this is what we're doing?
Yeah, yeah. And there's some... Connie New, and it's like she there's a lot going on with all of those characters, like, and there's a lot of different factors at play, whether it's family factors, whether it's sons, whether it's children, like there's a lot of different components in it, and just powerful performances.
Yeah. Oh no, it works, and each character has their own motivation. Yet, I was going to ask you. There's like even though each one of those characters is different, the way they contribute is very specific. Like, there's a thread, and there's like this look in the eye of like Connie, the Emperor's sister, the main political advisor.
Yeah,
like, you know who I'm talking about. He actually died in the middle of filming, which is why like. Character. Darn, I can't believe that.
Was it Peter Reed? Was it, or somebody who played him? No, it was
possibly. I usually have my iPad in front of me today, but this is episode 1, season 2 of this podcast. So, plus, I got a 20 minutes ago. So
was it Richard Harris who was, somebody? It was one of those guys.
Yeah, he's one of those older dudes. It wasn't Richard Harris, but
yeah. They were awesome. They were pretty. It was a very strong cast. I think Ridley Scott did an awesome job in putting it together. Like, he tied a lot of components together. Very strong script, but it was just visually very strong as well.
Yeah. Oh no. Well, that. Yeah. I mean, anytime it's like, hey, Ridley Scott's doing a movie, it's like, okay, that means I'm just gonna be staring at the screen for the first like three times I watch this, and then I'll remember there are people in it. I did that during Wonder Woman, but that's for different reasons.
Yes.
Let's talk about your third favorite movie that you gave me. Now, you were bouncing around a couple of ideas, but you landed on There's Something About Mary. Why is There's Something About Mary one of your three favorite movies?
Yeah, it's more situational in terms of, like, I was in second year in college at that stage.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like maybe 18 or 19, something around that. And I remember we had this lab examination. So I was studying science, and I had to go to this lab examination. And I went for lunch, and this guy said to me, like, fuck it, let's just go to the movies. And I was like, he was considerably older than me. Well, as in like a year or two, but like,
yeah, he was like a senior.
When you're 19 and he's 21, it seems like a lot. Like,
so yeah, totally, he can go to bars.
I was like, okay, fuck it, let's go to the movie. So off we went. We knew nothing about nothing, like, as in literally it was like in Cork City, so where I lived at that stage, like, there was a big main street. At the end of it was like a big old style Capitol cinema, seven screens, real old, it's gone now, but real old school cinema, just like really comfy seats. It was awesome.
Right. So
rocked into the cinema, not even knowing what was on, and saying, okay, what's on? Something About Mary. And we just like,
did you know anything about the movie at all?
Nothing whatsoever about anything. And it was it was such a good movie. Yeah, we had so much fun. We just spent, like, halfway through it, we were like, shit, this is really funny. And it just kept getting funnier.
Yeah.
And funnier. Yeah. And it was like, Cameron Diaz actually gives a great performance in that movie. And
yeah,
like, you've got a lot, like, the Farrellys know what they're doing. They're very, very good at it. But like, you have some awesome, really, really good guys in it. And like, they had a lot of fun making that movie. And it's like Ben Stiller does a great job in it. Like, he does really, really good. And it's funny to see, because like, a lot of even the English guy who has the walking impediment, like,
he's No, he's one of those actors that, like it's funny. I forget that he was in that movie.
Yeah.
Like, he's had such an incredible career since then that, like, you know, it's like, there are certain movies where you're like, wait, so-and-so was a, wait, oh my God, so-and-so was in it. And they were like they were a super minor character who contributed, but, like, you don't forget them. You don't forget their, so is it situational? I mean, like, first of all, that sounds awesome, because that sounds like the first time in your adult life, so to speak, that you actually went, like, here's this thing I'm supposed to be doing, but fuck it, let me go in this other direction.
Yeah.
Is that the first time that happened?
I wouldn't say the first time. I'm pretty adventurous and all
that. Yeah, I was going to say.
But it was. So what happened then was, that movie ended. We were like, oh, that was so good. How does it get any better than that? And then we went. So the cinema was like this big, huge, like, cinema with some like big halls in it, like, and it was it had, I think, I'm pretty sure it had seven theaters in it. So what we did then was, so you pay it at the front, and then once you're inside, you're in the
Robin
Warren. So then we went to another movie called All the Pretty Girls or something, about it was like totally different. It was like a thriller, but really, 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 really good.
Oh, and was it? Okay.
It was, we went to that movie, and then we were on the line for going into our third movie. And so we went in, and like, we were the only people inside in the theater. And at this stage, so it's 2 o'clock, 3:30. It was like maybe 6 o'clock, and the next one started at like 7 o'clock. So we were like laughing and joking, having great fun. And next thing, this guy came along with a torch to ask us, "Oh, guys, have you got your tickets?" And we're like, "Oh, sorry, we can't find our tickets." Yeah, and he's like, "Well, that's interesting because we haven't even started selling them yet." Okay. So I was like, "Reverse the truck, get the hell out of there," and off we went. But it was a lot of fun.
That is stupid. Is there a character you saw the movie through, like that, and why?
For that one, not so much. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just the pure enjoyment, laughing.
It was laugh a minute stuff. It was a really, really, really good movie, and there was. Cameron Diaz is actually very strong in that, and I think she doesn't get the credit for her comic ability, because she's very funny. And,
yeah,
she was strong in that. Yeah, to see it through anybody else, not so much. Nobody else. The first two, it's like on it.
Totally.
A different energy. Yeah.
You even said it was a situational thing, which brings up this question: like, in terms of a movie, like, I've only gone into a theater. I've gone into a theater less than 5 times in my life, not knowing. I mean, I can think of maybe 10 times I've watched a movie not having having any expectation, not knowing anything about it. And I'm thinking in terms of that aware, like, what am I going in for to the receiving of the payoff?
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine. When you said you knew nothing about the movie, I mean, I remember how hard I laughed when I saw that. And to go, like, to even imagine walking into that theater without knowing I was going in for that type of laughing. Like, I can't wrap my head around that physical experience.
Yeah, I think, like, if memory serves correctly, like, it was literally just out. So...
Yeah.
Let's say we met in the university restaurant at 1 o'clock, let's say, had something to eat, and I was like, okay. And it was on, I can remember it was on at 2 o'clock, rocked into the cinema, and I was like, okay, what's on? Oh, there's this new movie, something about Mary. It starts at 2 o'clock. Okay, awesome. What's it about? And like, the person who was selling the tickets had no idea. Like, no.
Yeah. Nobody did. Like,
nobody had seen it. So it was just released. I think there was only like maybe, it was a cinema that took 200 or 300 people. I think there was maybe 10 of us in there watching it, and like all 10 of us were just laughing and laughing. And I remember coming out of it, and we were like, oh, like everybody kind of looking at each other saying, "Fuck, that was cool." Yeah. And we then snuck into the next cinema and snuck into the next cinema. Yeah.
When the multiplex showed up in my life, and that became like an option. Of like, oh wait, you mean if we just hang out here and not say anything, there's a solid chance we can watch another movie. Yeah, that it's funny now that I think about it. I don't know if I've ever done it more than twice. So I envy that being a practice.
Yeah,
because now
it was kind of like back in the day. It was kind of a done thing, but like you knew you were running the line. Like there was gonna be. 5 times out of 10, you were going to get caught, but the other 5 times, you're going to get
caught.
So it's like, let's run the line. Let's see what cracks. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So let's review. Let's review, shall we?
Yeah.
Your three favorites: Good Will Hunting, Gladiator, Something About Mary. Have you ever looked at all the things you said about that movie? How they reflect on who you be with everything you just said, like you said, with the brilliance of Matt Damon. I think that's really awesome that, like, because when I asked you initially, you said straight up first two, Good Will Hunting, Gladiator, like it was bang bang.
Completely.
And both of those movies, you're very, very clear on, you know, the brilliance. Yeah. The brilliance of yeah, like the that's how close to greatness and stepping into it. Well, I'm sorry.
Totally. And then there was, for the third movie, there was like Austin Powers 2, Austin Powers 1, like movies I loved. And like, I was kind of flipping between a number of movies. I've given you like two or three different
options. Yeah, no, yeah.
Yeah. And then it was like, when I got your message, I was like, okay, no, it's Good Will Hunting. And it's like, let's do it. And it's, yeah, it was, I think as well, it was that sense of just, devil may care. It's like, okay,
yes,
let's go for it, whatever it takes.
Like, well, yeah. I was gonna say, like with Good Will Hunting, you're right, like there is the how, I mean, you know, in knowing you, you know, in the time I've known you, even before we met, knowing you, you know, in person, it was always like, wait, there's this dude who showed up in the scene, you know, yeah, who is kind of like, he's kind of brilliant in a way that's really, really different. And I feel like Good Will Hunting is very much that. Like, that movie has brilliant people, but like, but Will Hunting, like, his brilliance is a total beyond. Like, yeah, he can't even wrap his head around it. He just sees the keys and he plays.
Yes, yeah.
You know, like, I just see the keys and I just play. Like, it and then with Gladiator, that sense of never quit. I mean, when we were in Houston, it was hilarious how much it was like, when I was with you, it was like, hey, let's do this thing. And there was zero, I mean, it was simple stuff like, hey, let's go to the grocery store. Or like the way that the energy of how you went about your day was really like, hey, there's this thing, yeah, I'd like to do. And there was 0% in your space of, this is not going to happen. Yeah, and if it happens, it's because I say it's not going to happen.
Yes, yeah.
And the third movie, which I think is really funny, because like you said, you picked, your choice was between some, you know, really funny movies.
Yes, yeah.
And of the people I know, there are very few people who smile and actually are as joyful as you.
Yes, thank you, Mikey.
And like, you bring that, like, it's this thing of just like, oh, Paul, I'll, you know, Paul's one of those guys I just want to stand next to, because he doesn't have to say a thing. He's gonna make me start giggling. Like, I'm just gonna start to feel better when I'm around him. And like, when I think about their sight about Mary, when I saw that in the theater, because I had seen Dumb and Dumber, pretty sure, yes, Dumb and Dumber came up before. So I was like, yeah, oh God, it's gonna be one of these movies.
Yes.
And yeah, like, movies in the theater where I actually was asked by the usher to maybe not laugh so hard and so violently. It's happened a couple of times. Yeah. It definitely happened in Their Sight About Mary. And yeah, I think these three are, you're actually pretty self-aware, but these three movies are kind of the perfect Paul Kearney movies.
Yeah.
Yes, me.
There was one other movie which I went into. I had no idea what it was about, and it was Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. And that was, I remember somebody said, oh, there's a movie out, and it was like cool, let's go see it. And we ended up going to the wrong one, and it was like, we ended up in the wrong thing, and we're like, oh shit, we're in the wrong movie. Well, we can't move now, it's on. And that was like Guy Ritchie, brilliant performance. But that one and Something About Mary are ones that strike me, where I had no idea, and they were just gems, absolute gems.
Yeah. And it's and oddly enough, that's even funnier that people ask me, you know, I go to movies all the time by myself. My dad used to do it all the time. That was kind of his like space to be him. To go into a movie with no expectations is again, like, that sounds like something you would do. Like, you're the type of cat who's like, hey, let's hop on a plane and go to this part of the world and see what happens.
Yeah, and it's like, anything can happen. Like, and it's actually, I find it quite relaxing with like just going. Like, I remember like 2 or 3 years ago, I was doing a big project, and it was full on, like, and it was kind of like, it was 24 hours a day. And I was like, I remember just one evening, like at 7 o'clock, I was like, okay, I'm just going to the cinema. I just went to the cinema, and it was like, what was the movie? The movie was, it was like Baby Boss or something like that. Like, it was what I required at that time. Yeah?
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, it was like, okay, I'm just chilling here. It's on. Yeah.
Oh man, that is the perfect way to end this. That, I mean, like, of all the movies to throw out there, of like, Baby Boss, sure.
Yeah, it's an awesome movie. Yeah, like a lot of the best stuff coming out of Hollywood is animated stuff.
You got Yeah.
Like, it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Oh, but that's the part that I love, is that it was just a lot of fun, and that is definitely reflected. All right, brother, I know you got to go. Thank you for this. This is great. Thank you for contributing to resurrecting the podcast, because. When you're like, hey, we're taping how's this date for taping of the podcast? I was like, oh, I guess season two is starting now, so.
Yes, yeah. It's on.
Indeed. Thank you, my friend.
I love you, Mikey. Yeah,
I love you too, brother.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Yeah, you too. See you soon.
All right.
Bye. See you.
Thanks, man. You too. Later.